The second perek talks about suicide and halachas of suicide, Maseches Smachos. Hamabed atzmo ladas, someone who commits suicide. The halacha is ein mitaskim imo bechol davar. You don't go ahead and bother with this human being for anything, because he has created the cardinal sin of ma'abed asmo, of going ahead and committing suicide. Now, we would have to see Shulchan Aruch to understand what it means, ein misaskim imo bechol davar. But this is what I want to bring to your point, to your attention. Rabbi Yishmael, who is a Tana Omer, held kor imalov, hoi not lo, hoi not lo. Woe unto the man who took his own life and he had no reshus. Woe unto the man who went ahead and violated the property of God like a ganav, like a gazlan. You went ahead and you killed yourself. You're not allowed to do it because your body is not your property. In other words, Rabbi Yishmael says that as a eulogy, as a hesped for one who commits suicide, you degrade him. You don't cry for him, you spit at him. Omale Rabbi Akiva, whereupon Rabbi Akiva said, sorry, my dear friend Rabbi Shmuel, hanachlo bistomo, leave him be, stam, alone, neutral. Al techabdehu ve'al tekalalehu. Don't give him honor and don't go ahead and curse him the way you want. Ein kor imalav, don't rip kriya. The ein chol simalav, and you don't take your shoes off. Lo mas bidimalav, you don't go ahead and say hesfedim. But haval omdimalav b'shura, you stand in two parallel lines. The omrimalav birchas avelim, and you go ahead and you take the mourners who lost this loved one under such tragic circumstances, and you try to say nichum avelim mipnei shehu kivod hachayim, because the cover that you are giving to the mourners is for those who live, not for the one who died. Klalo shel davar, the halacha stands that what we mean by ein misaskim imo bedavar, we mean that ein harabim, that kol shehu kavod shel chayim misaskim bo. Anything that you do with the mace that ultimately gives kavod to the one who to the ones who survive, misaskimbo, you do. Kol she'ein kavod chayim, anything that you do that doesn't bring honor and comfort to the ones who survive, is ein harabim mitaskim imo l'chol davar. You leave it alone. Tell me, what's going on here? Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, go back. They lived at the same time. Rabbi Yishmael lives at the generation of Rabbi Akiva. What's being argued here? Why in that generation are we arguing suicide? What to do with the suicide? Obviously, because this was the issue, this is the core of how to deal with the syndrome called Asara Haruge Malchus. Commit suicide, because we don't want to stand up to the torture. Now that it's happening, and it's new, but it's happening every single day, what do? Do we discourage suicide, like Rabbi Yishmael, who says, remember, if you are going to buckle in, we'll let your body rot in the streets, we won't do a thing. Social strictures, social pressure. And Rabbi Akiva says, maybe early on in his years, cut it out. Someone who commits suicide, let's leave it alone. There must be ulterior motives. I know he did an Avera, but you sure are not going to spit at him. This is a different Rabbi Akiva than we have in the Gemara Brachas at the end of his life.
Is it a different kind of suicide?
Huh?
Is this a different kind of suicide?
Maybe yes and maybe no. Because to me, it says suicides were happening a little too frequently. Unquestionably, you are right. Less man de plige, there's no one who would disagree that if it were just some suicide out of self-aggrandizement. Right now, I'm 48, I'm soon going to be 49, I'm going to hit the big five. Yeah, I'm okay. Haven't had surgery once in my life, just broke a couple of bones. Only time I'm in a hospital is, you know, the brisson that I performed years ago or to go visit someone. That's it. Who wants to start? I know it's downhill. Half a century up and then a quarter of a century down. The heck with it. A couple of pills and finished, and that's all. Why create so much pain for those around me who love me? Why not give a little nachas to those who want to see me dead and buried? You know, once in their life, they too are God's children. They're entitled to it. Now, this is normal thinking. Normal. I mean, this is suicidal thinking. That is normal for someone who is suicidal. Okay? What are you laughing about? Give me a fancy term for it today. It's a medical term. Euthanasia. Living wills. What are you talking about? We're dealing with it. We're living with it today. I want my human dignity. I don't want to be remembered by those who loved me as being a skeleton with nothing more skin than skin covering bones. Gewalt, anyone who has seen terminal patients, any which way, it doesn't have to be the scourge called AIDS. Any cancer has got to at some time give voice to these feelings, give expression to these tendencies. You're right. There's no one that disagrees that there's suicide and then there is suicide. And this suicide that they are talking about, I am not so sure that it is that kind of self-serving suicide. You know, that cosmetic suicide. Because Rabbi Akiva is taking a position of neutrality. Leave him alone. Don't say anything good and don't say anything bad. And by the way, the halacha happens to be like Rabbi Akiva, down to the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer, Paskin, and said it, and again, because after Tisha B'Av you want to see it, so we'll see it. I'm holding back on you in all the Torah sources because of the nature of the day. But Chassam Sofer says where suicide means where it is totally self-serving. If there was any kind of pressure from the outside, physical, mental, emotional pressure that would cause a person to take this route as the route of lesser resistance than the problem that he or she faces, this is not what was meant by the Maseches Smochos and the Tanoim, that you leave him alone and you don't do anything for him. We are not talking about that. But the suicide, the classical suicide in the period that we are living in, of a Jew who committed suicide, but was under such intense pressure, was the Donald Manus situation of this year, where he saw his whole political structure caving in, and not only that, not only that the ship was sinking, but he was bringing degradation to his entire political machine, so heavily populated by Jews, that he had no other way. And he committed suicide. What do I do? If he were a member of this shul, what do I do? Now, I know how some members will pass him. He committed suicide. The halakha is that you don't do anything. And if I will go to that funeral, the rabbi deserves to be fired because he's a shagetz. He doesn't begin to know the halakha. Artscroll. That's the way the Artscroll syndrome reads. You look in Maseches Smachos, which 98% of the American rabbis haven't seen yet, you see that the halacha is different. Or the Chassam Sofer, which 99% of the American rabbis don't even begin to know exists, because they don't understand the language. It's a different story. It's a halacha psuka. When we had a rash of political suicides in Eretz Yisrael a couple of years ago, it was clear, what? What's it all about? Finish. That's it. The halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, at best, that if a person does commit suicide, hold on, we won't do anything for him, but we'll do for the Chaim. But if there is a suicide that is under such duress that the man did not want to withstand the torture by staying alive, what's there to talk about? It's a tragedy. It's an absolute tragedy. And surely, when it is the kind of torture from the outside, to be able to convert or to be able to accept Christianity in some way or some other religious principle as a compromise to Yahadus, then The whole thing is changed from an avera into a mitzvah that needs a bracha. No?
Well,
there's no question, but you see, the Kiddush Hashem suicide is an evolution that I'm trying to show you. The Gemara in Brachos, in the way Rabbi Akiva ended his life, is the end of an evolutionary process, I would say, that starts here in Maseches Machos by taking a stand on suicide first. That there are suicides and there are suicides. There's suicide of the first kind, that you don't want to sustain any of the pains and the horrors and the debilitations of life. I want to die a macho man, and that's how I want to be remembered. Okay? That's the machlokis of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. But Rabbi Akiva, already in his generation, understood what was going on, especially with the tortures of the Roman Empire, and he says, wait a minute, there's another concept here. It is another din, it's not suicide, it's Kiddush Hashem. Okay? Suicide belongs under Geneva. Suicide belongs under Gezela. Suicide belongs under Chovel Bachavero. You're a damager of someone else's property. Rabbanu Shalom's property. This Kiddush Hashem is a different din altogether. This is a din of a chai bahem. You got to live. You know what kind of life? Chai netzach, chai olam haba. This is the chiddush, and probably it was an evolutionary process that we see happening through all of these sources. How's about taking a break? As we continue. Those of you who weren't here this morning, please, if we lose you, it is because we already spent better than 2 hours on the subject, but I'm going to try to surely accommodate the needs of those who were not here this morning by trying to enter the very same subject from different points of view, at least to try to marshal different evidence. The subject under consideration is the issue of suicide, which I think every one of us knows is osur al pi halacha, for whatever reason. The Gemara will want to find the bedrock reason as to why suicide is osur. But much, much more importantly, the question is that the sources that I brought together here, and as are reflected in the kinos that we say endlessly, when looked at in its historical perspective, we find a conversion of attitude, a change in attitude, when it comes to mass suicide. Or maybe not, I don't know. Somehow, in the passage of time, mass suicide was considered a mitzvah rather than an avera, to the extent that, as we said this morning, that by the 1600s, there were those who said, such a mitzvah you've got to make a bracha for. The same way you make a bracha over a lulav and esrog. The same way when you kindle your Hanukkah menorah, you make a bracha. For this mitzvah, you make a bracha. To be able to spit in the face of the enemy and defy them when they came to force you into things, to torture you, to try to get you to succumb, and they found you all dead. Your lives taken by your own hands, mothers killing children and fathers killing wives. If that's the case, it is the kind of mitzvah which merits devising a bracha. And it's this change in attitude that I've been trying to trace and play with. You see, because there is an interesting concept here which is very deep and very broad, which we cannot investigate on Tisha B'Av. You know, Tisha B'Av, we're not allowed to learn Torah the way we do the rest of the year. It's only those things that are permitted, and for me to do that, I would have to pull out a Rambam for you, etc. and so forth, so I'm treading on very tender ground here. So let me give it to you orally. There were three basic attitudes, and there are three phases of this mitzvah that you have to keep in mind. Number one, there is a difference if it's bish'as ha-shmad or lo bish'as ha-shmad. Shmad means forced conversion. When a nation comes down on us and says, we want you Jews to convert, that's Sha'as HaShmad, that's a time of Shmad. Rabbi Akiva went through a Sha'as HaShmad. The Crusades were a Sha'as HaShmad. The Holocaust, unquestionably. When someone else, by virtue of his power, wants to eradicate you as a Jew, qua Jew, that is Sha'as HaShmad. If that's the case, the law is, even if they ask you, and Jack, you have been memorialized in the Gemara forever, even if they ask you to change your red shoelaces, or they force you to change your red shoelaces and put on purple shoelaces, you are not to do it. Yeah. We'll come to it. We have a Shaila here that was asked about someone who truly asked the Shaila whether he can commit suicide or not. He did not know if he would be able to survive the problems that were coming up in the ghetto. So hold that for a minute and bring it up again. So Sha'as HaShmad or Shelo b'Sha'as HaShmad. If it isn't Sha'as HaShmad, if it isn't a power play to eradicate Yiddishkeit, you are not allowed to sacrifice yourself needlessly. And there's a machlokes between the Rambam and other Rishonim whether if you want to be machmir on yourself, you want to be a chosid. You understand? You know, like us today, would we be allowed to be stringent on ourselves and say, I don't care that it's not a Sha'as HaShmad, I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway to sock it to them and let them know that I am a superior being? That's the first dimension that you have to ask. The second thing is whether it is Bitzina or Befaresia. If someone forces you to do something privately, are you allowed to commit to be killed? In other words, commit suicide by not doing it? And the answer is no, with the exception of three mitzvahs. You know the famous three. Gilui Arayos, incestuous relationship, Shfichas Domim, murder, and Avodah Zarah. If it's privately, maybe you're allowed to do these things. But publicly, Befahesya, you're not allowed to do anything. And we have to weigh it, whether the situation is private or public. The third thing, and probably this is the most important one, is when a goy comes over to you and forces you to do something, what is the motivation of the goy? Is it to deprecate you as a Jew and to take your Yiddishkeit and put it down the drain? Or is it to take you as a human being and shove your face in the mud? There's a big difference. One is religious oppression, and the other one is simply a power play. Are you supposed to commit suicide for just simply a power play, or do you go along with it? And the answer is you're not allowed to commit suicide for a power play. Because we get power trips pulled on us every single day of the week. Every single hour of the day. Children pull power trips on parents. Parents do the same thing to children. Bosses do it to workers. Workers strike, they do it to bosses. I mean, what's there to talk about? And it's all for our personal gains and our personal needs. It's not a religious oppression. But if a goy comes over to you and says to you, Jew, you filthy, rotten, dirty Jew, I want you to cut this grass on Shabbos. And you know what I want you to do with it after you finish cutting it? Because if you don't, I'll kill you. You take all the grass and you throw it down the drain. What is his purpose? What is his intent? According to the Gemara, we'll learn it in a second. The Gemara is that it is a religious persecution rather than personal. Because if he said to you, Jew, cut that grass and feed it to my animals, then you know what he wants. It's personal gain. He doesn't want to cut the grass. He doesn't want to feed his own animals. And he wants to be able to pull a power play on you and go ahead and get you to serve his particular needs. So there's a basic difference whether you're allowed to commit suicide or not. Yeah.
Is that a case where he's just trying to cause you grief and sorrow?
That's all.
Or he's trying to change your religion?
No, cause you grief. We'll look at it tomorrow in 1 second. Now, these three things, we've got to go ahead and distinguish one from the other. Because the halacha is different in each case. And when you go ahead and create a situation where you're going to commit mass suicide and harry carry as a result of it, what, I mean, we've got to understand, does it fit with the halacha or doesn't it fit with the halacha? Yeah.
Any discussion that concerns itself with the Khomeini fanatic kind of suicide, where he puts a note on you saying that if you commit this act, you're doing it for
Olam Abba,
God, and sure, you will be guaranteed Olam Abba.
100%. We're going to learn it in a minute, in a couple of moments, unquestionably. And we have to ask ourselves if this is in keeping with, you know, normative Jewish thought. So just to review, all of this, we've got to weigh the problem in three dimensions. Is it the time of Shmad or not? Is there religious persecution on an international level? In other words, an empire sweeping down and trying to get the Jews to change as a nation? Or, secondly, is it Betzina or Befahesia? Is it privately that you're being forced to do this, or publicly you're being forced to do the act? And third, is it for his own personal gain, or is it for religious persecution that he is interested in? And let's take a look, once we see this, let's take a look at one of the most famous kinos based on a Gemara. If you would please be so kind as to pick it up at page 13. The Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Ches, and page 13, just about line 109, the third word on line 109.
All places in Gittin?
Yeah, well, I want to tell you something. In Maseches Gittin, there are three pages of Gemara, which is the first on the list of the permitted Gemaras to be discussed and learned on Tisha B'Av. It is the historical residue in the Gemara of Churban Bayis Sheni, the famous Kamsa and Bar Kamsa Gemara, and everything else around that time, until and including the revolution of Bar Kokhba. And here we have an instance, Tanu Rabbonon, Tanoim learned, taught us in a Braisa. Ma'ase Berabi Yehoshua ben Chananya, Orly, please forgive my Western culture pronunciation, but I'll occasionally lapse into it to satisfy your correct pronunciation, and our mistaken one will have to be put by the wayside. Tanu Rabbanan 109. Ma'ase berabi Yehoshua ben Chananya, shehalach lekerach gadol. Okay? Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya went to a large city. Went to a large city, Sheberomi, in Rome. In other words, in one of the populated areas of Rome. Amrulo and the Jewish population told him, Tinok echad yesh beveita asurim, there is one youngster who is in jail. Yefei naim, beautiful eyes, vitol v'ro'i, gorgeous, gorgeous face, ukivutzotav sturot lo taltalim, and what curls this guy has for hair. Halach, so Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya went v'amad al petach beit ha'asurim. He went to the jail, standing at its door, v'amar, and he cried out, Mi natan limshisa Yaakov? Who gave permission to decimate, to destroy Yaakov this way? V'Yisrael lebozazim, and allow B'nei Yisrael to be so degraded. Ana oto tinok v'amar. The jailed youngster answered when he heard Rabbi Yehoshua saying, who gave permission? Halo Hashem zo chatanu lo. It was God, the God to whom we sinned. V'lo avu bidrachav haloch. We did not want to go in his ways, and therefore we are suffering. V'lo shamu b'torato. And they refused to listen to his Torah. Whereupon Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya said, Amar muftachani bo shemore hora'a b'Yisrael. He is going to be a great person. More hora'a means he's going to be a rov in Yisrael. Ha'avodah, I swear by the sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, I swear by everything that's holy. she'eni zaz mikan, that I'm not budging from this place, ad she'evdenu bechol mamon she'poskim alav, until I am able to ransom him at any price that the captors go ahead and place. Amru, and others said, lo zaz misham, that Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya refused to leave Rome and go back to Israel, ad she'pida'o b'mamon halbei, until he was capable of ransoming him for a massive amount of money. V'lo hayu yamim mu'atim, and it wasn't a long time after, ad she'hora ha'ra'a b'Yisrael. It wasn't a long time. Double negative means it was a short time. Okay? It wasn't a very long time. Ad she'hora ha'ra'a b'Yisrael, that this man, this kid, grew to be a gadol b'Yisrael. Umenu, who was he? Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, none other than the famous Rabbi Yishmael. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Let's skip from Rabbi Yishmael's life as a youngster to the life of his children. Okay?
What was Hashem HaChanina, the fact that he asked them, why do the Jews suffer, the Israelites suffer? He gave him a Jose. Could you imagine if he asked any Christian today? He'll tell you the same thing. Because you sin to God.
If the Pope wears a yarmulke, I'm indicted.
He stands at the jail and screams out, tell me why.
He wasn't asking for information. He was crying kinos, gival. He knew. Well, it was a rhetorical question that he was yelling to himself.
But who gave him the answer?
No, the kid said no.
The kid gave him that answer. What's the big chiddush in that answer? Why is that answer such a big chiddush? Does any Christian tell you that?
Because this kid, who obviously, by the use of the word tinog, was truly a youngster, to be able to understand and sort out something which adults sorted out, which Nevi'im sorted out, indicates that there's something special, because a normal kid would say, you want to know something? I didn't do anything. Why is God punishing me like this? I don't know why. I didn't do anything. I was a good boy. Let's assume he's 6. Let's assume he's 7 or 8. A normal child will not understand why he's in jail for such a thing.
Well, the question wasn't an individual question. It was a general question. If she said Yaakov, Israel opposes him.
But what
is... talking plural.
But he is addressing himself to this circumstance, this child. What would a 6-year-old answer you?
I don't know.
Normal.
Tinok. We don't know exactly what Tinok is.
7 years old. Tinok. Not Yelet. Not Bachur. Tinok. Someone who belongs at home with his mother and his father. Okay? That's the issue. But the Gemara says, let's jump a generation to the children of this Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, who turned out to be Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol, whom we read about in the Asar Haruge Malchus this morning during Kinos. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav, Maase, I want you to know this historical fact. Bivino ubevito sherab Yeshua ben Elisha. A generation later, and this young kid grows up and he has children, he has a son and he has a daughter. The son and the daughter nishbu lishnei adonim. In the famous wars, the Hadrianic oppressions, these two kids were taken into captivity by two Roman generals. Liyamim nizdagvu shnehem b'makom echad. Time passed, and both of them found each other in the same place, jailed. Ze Amar, one master says, Yeshli Eved, I have a slave, She'en ki yofyo b'chol ha'olam, the most beautiful thing in the world. Ve Ze Omer, and the other one says, back in Rome, Yeshli Shivcha She'en b'chol ha'olam, kulo ki yofya. There is the most gorgeous kid that I have who's a girl. Amru, so the two Romans decided, bo v'nasiyem zelazeh, let's go and insist that both of them get together and have children. Unechaleik b'viladot. And the children, as many children as they have, it'll be one for you, one for me, one for you, one for me, and so on. So we'll have such gorgeous slaves. Hichnisum lecheder. They put them into a room, Zeh Yashav B'Keren Zavit, and one is in the corner, V'Zoh Yoshva B'Keren Zavit, and the other one is sitting in the corner. Ze Omer Ani Kohen Ben Kohanim Gedolim, I am a Kohen, the son of Kohanim Gedolim. Esa Shivcha, I am going to go ahead and be married to a Shivcha. Shivcha meaning a non-Jewess. That's what you're going to make me do. V'zot Omeret, and the other one says, Ani Kahenet Bas Kohanim Gedolim, I am the daughter of a Kohen, the daughter of Kohanim Gedolim. And say, Le'eved, I am going to defile myself to a goy. Obviously, they didn't look at each other's face. Ubachu kol halayla, crying the entire night, each one in his and her own corner. Kevan sha'ala amud ha'shachar, it reached already the time of dawn, v'hikiru zeh, and they recognized one another. I am your brother, and you are my sister. V'naflu zeh al zeh v'ga'u b'v'chiyah, they fell on one another and they died crying ad sheyatza'a nishmatam, until their soul departed. What does that mean? They committed suicide, in whichever way. Ba'alehen konein Yirmiyahu, long before they lived, Yirmiyahu Hanavi obviously said what he meant in the pasuk, al eila ani bochia, for these I am crying, eini eini yodamayim, both eyes cry, and I cannot control myself. Question, based on our introduction, was this a Sha'as HaShmad or lo Sha'as HaShmad? Was it for Tzina, was it Parhesia? Was it privately, or was it Parhesia? Was it a religious situation here that was at stake, and that's why they were being forced? Or was it only for their own private, the Romans' own private kind of hana'ah, pleasure? You have to ask. Because if they go ahead and they commit suicide, it has to fit these criteria. They were alone in the room.
No, but the purpose of that was to have children. Now, could you mention those two generals? They would like to brag about it. Those two the Jews who were brother and sister, they probably knew who they were.
All right, number one. But by definition, Parhesia only means one thing. 10 Jews. 10 Jews see something. Not 10 goyim, not 1,000 goyim. 10 Jews. You want to learn the Gemara? We'll learn the Gemara.
But this is not a single act. This is a continuum.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah, but what is the overriding?
It's only blood, yeah. Blood.
What is the overriding condition? What is
it? Huh?
Yeah. But what is this a Sha'as HaShmad or not a Sha'as HaShmad? It doesn't sound like it, right? Then you don't. Then I have to fill you in on history. These are the Hadrianic oppressions, and Hadrian wanted only one thing: you are to desert all of this Jewish living and fall into line with Roman administration. And that's why his armies were there to capture. That's why they tortured Rabbi Akiva and put him to death, as we spoke. That's why the Asar Haruge Malchus and the father of this pair, this brother and sister, was killed. So the Sha'as HaShmad takes over. This is religious persecution, and if it's religious persecution, even though you can argue that it was private, the act wasn't seen, you may disagree. And even if you can argue that it was for their own personal benefit, in other words, the captors simply wanted gorgeous slaves around. It wasn't a religious thing. All this falls away because of the original conquest, and the original conquest was that it was a Sha'as HaShmad. Once you have that, I don't care what it is, fellas, even if they tell you don't wear red shoelaces or take away your black laces in the shoes and put in purple shoelaces, if that is their intent and that is religious oppression, we are going to take the act of suicide and change it, transform it into not only an avera but into a mitzvah where you need a bracha.
The difference between we want religiously everybody to have purple shoelaces instead of your red shoelaces. But, I mean, if someone says, hey, you have to wear, you're a Jew, you have to wear a star, you have to wear a uniform because you're a prisoner, that's not the same thing as changing shoelaces.
Obviously. But what was at stake here is simply two ethics. The Roman ethic, Greek-Roman ethic on the one hand, and the Jewish ethic on the other hand of what we call Gilui Arayos. Simple as that. Incestuous relationship, and this is in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Ayin Dalet, which you're not supposed to learn on Tisha B'Av, all right? But it's in the pamphlet for you to refer to afterwards. Gilui Arayos, incestuous relationship, by Svara, is an act of Ritzicha, is an act of murder, equivalent to an act of murder.
To the Romans.
Not to the Romans, to us.
No, but I mean, the Romans didn't intend there to be an incestuous relationship. They had no knowledge of the relationship.
No, that wasn't within their value. That wasn't within their value system. But the one point of departure between Greek civilization and then followed by Roman and Jewish civilization really is over, you know, over what we consider to be proper sexual relations. Now, the famous Rambam in Sefer Kedusha defines Kedusha, defines holiness only as two things. The way we control ourselves in Isurei Bia, those whom we will not marry and have sexual relations with, and the way we eat. The way we control ourselves in eating. And this is our point of departure from the entire Roman world. Take a look at page 19. I'll show you a change in attitude from suicide to Kiddush Hashem. Let's pick it up on line 71, the last word. Tanu Rabbanon. We learned in a brisa, Kishechala Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, in the same generation of Hadrian, the years were 135, 136, 137, 138. Kishechala Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, when Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma was sick, Halach Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion levakro. So a colleague of his, Chananya ben Tradion, went to visit him, Bikur Cholim. Amarlo. So Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma said, Chanina ochi, ochi, Chanina, my dear brother, Ei ata yodea, don't you know, she umazu, that the Romans, this nation, min ha-shamayim himlichua, from heaven they have been given the right to do what they did, Sheikh Rivas Beso, to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, Besarfa et Heichalo, to go ahead and burn it and decimate it, Vahaga et Chasidav, to destroy all of our Chasidim, all of our Gedolim, Tanoim, Ve'avda et Tovyav, and Tovav, and went ahead and wiped out the best among us, the Adayin Hikayemis, and she's still able to exist so many years. Don't you understand that this obviously is with divine permission? Ani shamati alecha, and I heard that you are going ahead, she'ata yosheva osek b'Torah, you are sitting, studying Torah, and not only that, makil kilot barabim, you publicly do this. V'sefer munach lecha b'chekecha, and you publicly, openly defy the Roman guards and generals by holding a Sefer Torah in your arm. In other words, you sock it to them. Mainly if you do this privately, that's one thing. If you're doing it publicly, how are you doing this, such a thing? Tell me, is learning and teaching Torah one of the mitzvahs that you're allowed to commit suicide for rather than transgress it? No! There are only three mitzvahs that you allow yourself to be killed. Avodah Zarah, idolatry, Shfichas Domim, murder, and Gilui Arayos, incestuous relationship. If someone comes and says, teach Torah and I'll kill you, are you allowed to be killed? This is what he's saying, in a sense. What are you doing? Publicly you're doing such a thing? You're not allowed to do it. It's committing suicide. 77, Amalo. So he answered, Min ha-shamayim yarachamu, don't worry, God will protect me. Amalo, cynically, the second said, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma said to Rabbi Chanina, Ani omer lecha dvarim shel tam, I'm talking reason to you. I'm talking politics, I'm talking reality. Ve'ata omer li min ha-shamayim yarachamu, and you're giving me this frum shtick that God will protect you? You have halacha here that has to be considered. This is not one of the three mitzvos that you go ahead and sacrifice your life. I'm just wondering, if you are doing such damage, you're doing it not only to yourself, but take a look at the Sefer Torah that you hold. They'll burn the Sefer Torah also. When you'll see that, you'll be satisfied. Amalo, the conversation continued. He said to him, Rebbe, tell me, I'm sick and I may die. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma says, what's going to be in the next world? Do you think I'll make it to the next world? Amalo. So Rabbi Chanina said, well, why don't you take stock of yourself and see what you did? Amalo, once Ma'oz Purim Nitchalfuli b'maot shel tztaka. It was one Purim, and it was very hectic. And the money that I was supposed to give out, matonos lo'evyonim, to the poor on that day, got mixed up with other tztaka money, and I didn't know which money was which. Ultimately, I gave it all to tztaka, v'chilaktim la'aniyim. I gave it all to tztaka, but I didn't know which is which. Maybe that was an avera. Is Amarlo, so Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion said, if that is what you are guilty of, and you feel guilty about, then let me tell you something. Im kein michelkecha yehei chelki, umigoralcha yehi gorali. May I be in your camp, and may I be judged like you, if that's the only problem. Amrulo, Amru, the matter continues. Lo hayu yamim muatim. It wasn't very long. Ad sheniftar Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. Until this Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, who was sick, he died. Vehalchu kol gedolei Romi lekabro vehispiduhu hespeid gadol. And the best of the Roman population went to Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma's funeral to go ahead and bury him and eulogize him, meaning that he was a pacifist as far as Rome was concerned. He was one who looked for compromise and not resistance. Uvechazaratan, coming back from the funeral, mitzauhu l'Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, they found this Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, shehaya yoshev oseik b'Torah, just as was said before, he's sitting and teaching Torah, makil kilot v'rabim, he's bringing and attracting groups to him, the Sefer Torah munach lo b'cheiko, and he's holding the Sefer Torah in his arms to sock it to them, to indicate visually what he was doing. Hevi uhu, they brought him to jail. Ukerachuhu b'sefer Torah, and they wrapped the Sefer Torah around him. Hekifuhu b'chavilei zemorot, they tied him in this wrapping so that he cannot budge. V'hitzitu bahen et ha'or, and they put him and the Torah on fire. Not only that, as he burned slowly, hevius fogin shel semer, they brought wads of wool, usheraum b'mayim, which they dipped into cold water, v'hinichum al libo, placing it on his heart, kedei shelo teitze nishmato mehera, so that he doesn't faint so readily and that he maintains consciousness. Amra lo bito, when seeing her father being tortured this way, his daughter yelled out, Abba er eka bechach, Daddy, do you honestly think I can stand and see you be tortured this way? Is Amarla, whereupon the father answered the daughter, worry not, il malei ani nisrafti levadi hayadaval kasheli. If I was being burned and only I was being burned and tortured, then I'd have a problem. Achshav shani nisraf v'sefer Torah imi. But now that they went ahead and they wrapped me in the Sefer Torah, mi shemevakesh el banash el Sefer Torah, the one who will demand retribution for the decimation of this Sefer Torah, in other words, the Ribbono Shel Olam, at the same time demanding the honor for the Sefer Torah, Hu Yevakesh El Boni. He will demand my honor, and he will wipe away my degradation. She kept quiet, but his Talmidim didn't. Amrulo Talmidav. His Talmidim then popped up, Rebbe, Ma'ata Roeh, tell us, what do you see? In other words, how do you make sense out of this whole scene? Whereupon Amar Lahem Givilin or Gilyon Nisrafim, I see the parchment being burned, Ve'otiot Porchot, and the letters of the parchment are flying into heaven. That is highly symbolic. The parchment is the physical, and the letters flying into heaven is the spiritual message. I see the parchment being destroyed and burned, but the spirit behind the Torah will never, never cease. Whereupon they said to him, all right, afata petach picha, why don't you open up your mouth, v'tikanes picha ha'esh, and don't fight it. Let the fire, in other words, let the fumes come in faster. And the next 10 words are important. Amar lahem Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion said to them, your plan is no good. Better let the one who is the author of life, who gave me life, take it away, and let me not do damage to myself. Yachbol hu ba'atzmo. We have an important word here. What is chovel? Chovel means to injure, to damage. Chavol.